All right, and we are live. Welcome to MCS Real Sports Podcast, episode 61. I am your host, as always, Matt Skura. I got my great co-host to my right, Mr. Caleb Connett, and we have a great special guest, Caleb's great friend, Aiden. I'll first start off with our co-host, Caleb. Caleb, how are you doing this fine Wednesday, January 5th, 2022?
Yes, bro. It's a blessing to be here, bro. This is our first episode of 2022. So, you know, I'm thankful for we made it through to this year. You know, thankful to even be able to have Aiden on this episode with us. So, this is super dope, bro. I'm doing good. Enjoying a school break right now, as, you know, I'm sure me and you are. And, yeah, man, I'm good. First of all, how are you, Matt? And we'll introduce Aiden right in. How are you doing, Aiden?
Man, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on here. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, it's a blessing, bro. It's a blessing to have you on here, bro. I look forward to, you know, chopping it up sports with you, bro. You already know how we even met. We met chopping it up sports, which is similar to how me and Matt met. So it's a blessing, bro. Matt, how have you been, bro? How's the new year been treating you?
Man, the new year has been treating me well so far. I saw my cousin get married on New Year's Eve, so that was great. And you know, just starting off 2022 off right, and you know, just progressing in life. You know, my Green Bay Packers clinched the number one seed, which we'll be discussing later on this episode. So I was very thrilled on that. And you know, the Lakers are starting to win. You know, starting to get that win streak going. So that's going good as well. And you know, I'm just excited to chop it up here for this episode 61.
Yeah, man, for sure. I feel you, you know. Packers are definitely doing good, you know. But it's the playoffs is what matters. And here, that's what we're here to talk about, right? The
month of Yeah, that's exactly here what we're going to discuss here. And before we get into that, let's kind of plug in any of our socials that we do. Let's do our special guest, Aiden, first. Aiden, do you have any plugs to do where they can follow you on Instagram or Twitter or anything like that?
Yeah, my Instagram is aiden.underscore.alexander. Aiden spelled A-I-D-A-N. And I also don't run another podcast, but sometimes I post on a TikTok account called Dude Disciples at... It's just Dude, D-U-D-E-C-I-P-L-E-S. And the Instagram for that is the Dude Disciples. Dude Disciples spelled the same way.
Nice.
All right, and then I'll ask you that same question, Caleb. Where can the people find all the great stuff that you do?
You can find me on Instagram at 1CalebConant. That is 1CalebConant. You can find me on Twitter at CalebConant2. That's CalebConant. Click the link tree in the bio. You can find plenty of other great things too. We got Jules and Jim's podcast with me and my dad every Thursday. Look that up on YouTube, Jules and Jim's podcast. You can find our YouTube videos. I'll also be dropping some vlogs on YouTube and just doing more things 2022. So yeah, man, give me a follow on Instagram, Twitter. Don't be scared to say hi, because I say hi back. And yeah. Let's get the new year popping, bro. Where can they find you, Matt? Don't forget to put your plugs in there.
Oh, absolutely. I'm definitely going to plug in some of my stuff. You can find my Twitter at Matt_Skura, Instagram at Matt_Skura20. And both of those links in our bio, you can access this very podcast. And it's pretty much available everywhere. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, you name it. It's available everywhere. With that being said, let's dive into today's topics. We'll first get into the NFL side of things, and then we'll go to the NBA. With the NFL side of things, the playoffs are heating up upon us. We have one more week. Week 18 is upon us, starting on Saturday. But let's pull up the playoff picture for the NFL, and it's getting almost there. The playoffs are almost set in the NFL. In the AFC, currently the one seed is the Tennessee Titans, followed by the Chiefs, Bengals. Then you got Then you got the four seed, which I will. Then you got the Buffalo Bills. Then you got the Patriots, the Colts, and the Chargers. And then you got just outside in the AFC and the NFC, you got the Packers currently, followed by the Rams, the Buccaneers, the Cowboys. Then you got the Cardinals at five. You got the 49ers at six and the Eagles currently at seven. With those being the current playoff pictures before week 18, I'll throw it out to you, Caleb. What kind of changes will we see to this playoff picture knowing that we have week 18 upon us?
To be honest, I don't think we'll see too many. I think we'll see like seed changes. I honestly expect a lot of seed changes. But other than that, I think for the most part, like everything's pretty much set. There's some win or go home games with the Raiders and the Colts. The Raiders and the Chargers. I'm really interested in seeing that game because I think, you know, the Chargers, obviously, they have a really good team. I think they should have been better than they were this year. But I would love to see them get in there. And I think at them being a seven seed, you know, they could definitely make a run and stun somebody, especially Kansas City. You know, this year with them just not being as consistent as usual. The Raiders are also a good team. I think, you know, if they weren't to have so many troubles that went their way this year, they would actually be a lot better. And then also on top of that, it would also be very good or it'd be great to see Roethlisberger go at it one more time in the playoffs. But I think, you know, it's going to be with the Chargers and everything else we could expect to see in the AFC, at least. I think we'll see a lot of seed changes. Now, when we get into the NFC, that's a different question. But with the AFC, at least, I think that there's a lot of seed changes. What do you guys think of when it comes to this subject or topic?
Yeah, honestly, I haven't been pretty busy with school. I haven't been able to keep too much up with the league, but like, I don't know necessarily about the seed changes. I just know it's going to be an interesting playoffs for sure.
Indeed, it definitely is going to be an interesting playoffs. I mean, you look at, there's a lot of scenarios that could happen. I mean, a lot is going to have to happen for either the Ravens or the Steelers to make the playoffs. I mean, you're going to need the Jaguars just to upset the Colts. You're going to need the Bills to lose. You're going to have a lot of stuff go down. I mean, I think in my honest opinion, like Caleb mentioned, it's probably in the AFC going to go down to that Chargers-Raiders game. Whoever wins that game will most likely be the seventh seed. And I will say, I did want to see the Steelers in the playoffs for Ben Roethlisberger's last ride, but I just think there's too much to overcome. I think they kind of put themselves in a bad position, you know, whether they've had some bad losses early in the season or with the tie to Detroit, it's insurmountable to overcome. And kind of the same thing with the Ravens. Like the Ravens, they've had too many injuries. They're sitting at 8-8. I mean, it's going to be very hard for them to overcome what they've had to go through. So I just think that last game of the AFC between the Raiders and the Chargers will pretty much decide who gets the seventh seed. And you're pretty much right on the money for the rest of it, Caleb. Like for the Titans and the Chiefs, if the Titans beat the Texans, they got the one seed. The Chiefs pretty much in the same boat. If they win and the Titans lose, they clinch the one seed. But, you know, for the most part, it's pretty much going to stay the same. I mean, the only thing that would be different is if Buffalo wins and Cincinnati loses, but that would just only mean you would go up a certain seed. Like the only thing that is of concern, you know, is if the Colts somehow lose to the Jaguars, then the whole AFC playoff picture is going to go haywire. But you know, it's even in the same thing with the NFC side of things. For the most part, everything is all set in stone. Like Green Bay, they already have the one seed clinched. They're locked in. I mean, you look at the Buccaneers and the Cowboys, they've already clinched their division. They're set in stone. The Rams and the Cardinals, they've already clinched playoff berths. They're perfectly fine and ready to go. Same thing even with your Philadelphia Eagles. They're already in the dance. They're already in the playoffs.
Hey!
The only games that'll really matter is the 49ers and the Rams week 18, and then the Saints and the Falcons, only because if the Saints win and the Niners lose, Saints get in, 49ers miss out, and the Eagles move up to the sixth seed. You're talking, that's going to be quite an interesting playoff scenario. But since we've already explained the playoff scenario, let's kind of dive into our week 18 picks.
Wait a minute. I'm sorry. I'm so fucking sorry.
But oh, you're good.
I have to let the you guys have to hear this, bro. So I'm going to be at that week 18 game. Rams, Niners, I'm there. I have to go to work, right? I work for the Rams, so I got to go to work. Now, if that happens, bro, that means the Saints will have to play the Rams.
Well, that's only if the Saints win. If the Falcons beat the Saints, 49ers get in regardless.
But the Falcons are going to beat us, though. I think we're going to take that one. I think the Saints take that one. I truly do. I don't know why. I just think we get that one. I don't think that.
Yeah, the Rams are definitely taking that one.
And the Rams, they're definitely going to take that one. Who knows, though? It's going to be a very, very interesting game, you know, because week 18, again, that game, we'll see.
Yeah, anything is possible. And then also for the simple fact of Shanahan owns Sean McVay. Like the last five matchups, Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers are 4-1. Against the Rams. And let's not forget, earlier in the season, the Niners beat up on the Rams 31-10. Now, obviously, it's a whole different Rams team. I mean, you look at Odell is clicking. He's gone like a touchdown in the last four or five straight games. He's been a part of the Rams. He's clicking on all cylinders. But then on the flip side of things, you got Matthew Stafford, who has had some bad interceptions. Like, he had three bad picks against the Ravens, pretty much kept them in that game last week. So. Yeah. We'll see.
It won the thing.
We'll definitely see how that turns around. We're definitely going to need to see some better Matthew Stafford play, especially if the Rams want to go far this year, because you don't trade all of that assets earlier in the season to get Stafford just to be a one-and-done kind of team. You trade for Stafford to win the division, which they have the opportunity to. If they beat San Francisco, they clinch the division and the number two seed. And I'm telling you right now, for Rams fans, they're going to really want that two seed because, hey, upsets galore can happen. I mean, if there's an upset that could happen, you got a better chance having a home game as a two seed than you are as a potential fifth seed, you know, to be quite frank. So we'll see how that happens. We'll see what goes down there. But let's get into our Week 18 matchups. We got a Saturday and Sunday slate. So no Monday Night Football because – the national championship game for college football is on Monday, but we got two great games on Saturday. We got the Chiefs and the Broncos battle for the number one seed for the Kansas City Chiefs, because if they win and Tennessee loses, they get the one seed. And then we got Cowboys and Eagles. We already know what's on the line. The Cowboys are pretty much stuck at the four seed, but for Philadelphia, they could be the sixth seed, whether they win that game or they lose. So with that being said, let's first get into Chiefs-Broncos. I want to hear what our special guest Aiden has for that game. Who do you think is going to win that game?
Honestly, I got the Chiefs in that one. That's personally, I feel like since they've already clinched the division and they're already like set in the playoffs, they're really going to be resting their starters and they're going to be playing a lot of their younger guys just to get some. So they're like best players like Tyreek, Mecole Hardman, Patrick Mahomes. Even Travis Kelce, they're probably going to be benching them. But
I'm sorry to interrupt with your take, but do you think they'll play their starters just because of the simple fact of if they win this game and if Houston can pull off an upset over Tennessee, do you think they'll look at that and simply say, hey, if we win this game and if Houston pulls off the upset, we got ourselves a bye week? Or do you think they look at it as like, you know what, the Texans, they're playing – The Titans are playing the Texans. I mean, if we want to play our starters, we can. If not, you know, let's just get the two seed. We'll get ready to play either the Chargers or the Raiders or even the Colts, and we'll just pack our bags for the wild card.
Man, that's a good one. I would say, like, they might play their starters to be, like, for the first bit of the game. But they're going to probably be resting them for a good part of it just so they don't have they don't get burnt out for the playoffs, and they could possibly make a deep run because they've been on fire since they started since they started almost 500 to begin the year. I believe they started 3-4 and then they got into They went 7 in a row. So mm-hmm. they don't want, and they've been starting their starters all season. I would say they'd probably want to rest their guys probably after maybe the first half, and depending mm-hmm. on the score.
Those are definitely some good points. I do think it will be depending upon the score. If it is a blowout, yeah, I'd say pull out the starters. You're blowing out the Broncos. Get ready for next week. Don't. But I will say, like, for the first start, like, you're probably going to see Mahomes on the whole starters. But yeah. when it gets to a certain point, whether it's a blowout on one side or a blowout on the other, you're probably going to see the starters just, you know, it won't be like all at once. It'll probably be piece by piece. It'll probably be like, all right, you know what, Tyreek Hill, we're dominating here in the first half. We'll let you rest and we'll get you ready for the playoffs, whether that's an extra bye week or ready for, you know, the three teams that I mentioned, either the Raiders, either the Chargers or the Colts.
They don't want to risk an injury in the week 18.
Yeah, exactly. Especially when, like, you don't want to be in a situation that Tampa is in, whether they have their players hurt, you know, late towards the season, or Antonio Brown, which we will definitely do a quick discussion on that one. But overall, I love your picks that you mentioned, Aiden. That was a great choice there with the Chiefs. I myself got the Chiefs as well, just because even though it's in Mile High, they're going to play their starters. They're going to try and get that one seed, and we'll simply see what happens. Let's see what my co-host has to say. Caleb, do you think an upset is going to happen at Mile High, or do you think Kansas City takes care of business?
No way. I think Kansas City takes care of business. They have to. It's a must. I think if Tennessee can, you know, end up securing that one seed, it could put Kansas City, in a bit of trouble, because I feel like when it comes to Kansas City, you know, they are a good team. They are a talented team, but they can be beat. And, you know, teams in the NFL know that they can be beat now because they figured out how to do it. And it just seems like teams are playing more confident. You know, it was a very impressive win last week that the Bengals came up with. Joe Burrow pretty much outplaying Patrick Mahomes. So, yeah, I do think they go out for the win. They're going to try to send a statement. And they have to get the win so they can get that number one seed. Or else, you know, they got to play three games, you know, and they got to play four games with three to get to the Super Bowl. And, you know, like I said, I, after watching all these games this year, a lot of these teams are playing with more confidence that these guys could be beat. The coordinators got it. These guys could be beat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%. You hit it right on the money there. So clean sweep.
You hit it on the money, really, though. You really hit it on the money. You know what I'm saying? Because they're, hey, Aiden, I'm sorry, my boy, but there's no way they're benching their starters back.
Well, in a blowout, they will. If they're blowing out Denver like 31-10 in the third quarter, yeah, they're gonna bring out some of their starters. But to start the game, no, they're going to.
Yeah, I wasn't saying anything about to begin the game. I'm saying maybe after halftime or something like the third quarter. It's not like they would definitely start the game with all their starters. But they don't want to risk injury at the same time while they want to get that one seed.
Definitely got to be conservative about that, for sure.
Mm-hmm. You definitely have to. With that being said, let's move on to the next Saturday slate of games. Both teams have already clinched the playoffs. We got the Dallas Cowboys versus the Philadelphia Eagles. Both teams already in the playoffs, so really nothing on the line there. We got Dallas pretty much set up as a fourth seed. They can't go up, can't go down. But you got the Philadelphia Eagles. They're sitting there at 9-7. They have a chance to move up to the sixth seed. I kind of want to hear what your guys' thoughts are. I'll start off first by saying I think it's going to be the Dallas Cowboys. I think the Dallas Cowboys are going to go into this game after being beat by Arizona, just being embarrassed, losing Michael Gallup with a torn ACL. I think they're going to Philadelphia. I think they're going to put the hammer. I think they're going to go up. It's a divisional opponent. Dallas has had a lot of success versus their division. I think they're going to put the smack down on the Eagles, and I think they're going to try and prove that, hey, you know what? We're not just a one-and-done kind of team. We could be a team to where we can make a deep run. So I'm going with the Dallas Cowboys. I do think Philadelphia is going to put up a good fight. I think what Jalen Hurts and company are doing in Philadelphia, I think they're building something special. You look at, they even have a lot of draft capital this year. You got the Colts pick, you got Miami, and you got your own pick, three first-round picks. Something is brewing in Philadelphia, and it's something positive for the first time in a while. So We'll see if they keep that going. But give me the Dallas Cowboys. I think they'll finish the season 12-5. I want to hear what you got, Caleb. Do you think the Eagles pull off the upset and finish 10-7, or do you think the Cowboys, or do you think the Cowboys beat Philadelphia again?
I'm so glad you sent that question on me first, because I honestly think the Eagles take this one. Although the Cowboys, they have just as much of a message to prove just as the Eagles. But I think the Eagles take this one. I feel like they, you know, in the NFL, it's hard to beat a team twice. And when the Dallas Cowboys beat them the first time, it wasn't too much of a blowout, if I can remember. Correct me if I'm wrong.
And it was a blowout. I think it was 42-20. It was close in like the first half, but then Dallas pulled away.
Okay, and that's a different with a different Jalen Hurts. You know what I'm saying? Absolutely. He's been growing a lot more throughout the season. So like you said, a lot of positive things are growing, brewing in Philly, man. And I think Hurts really put in a case to, you know, to let it be known that he is the guy. You feel me? And if he could be our guy that we build with for maybe 4 or 5 years, who knows? You know what I'm saying? But if he could be that guy that's consistent for us and can show us that he could take us kind of far, that could allow the Eagles to, you know, get different draft picks this year where they don't have to, you know, go get another quarterback. They can go get a linebacker like a Mekhi Parsons. I wish we would have kept Mekhi Parsons because he's been balling. But, yeah, I'm going with the Eagles, man. Mekhi Parsons a beast. He's an X factor for this game. Devontae Smith's a beast. He's an X factor for this game. Out of whoever, I'm going to say this, whoever performs the best, that's going to be the team that wins. Out of Mekhi.
Definitely like the sound of that. What are your thoughts, Aiden? Do you think Dallas takes care of business in this game, or do you think Philadelphia pulls off the upset?
Yeah, I originally had the Cowboys winning, but I'm realizing since now the Cowboys don't have any chance of moving up or down, I think they're definitely going to be resting their starters ready for the playoffs. I mean, some of their O-linemen, they're kind of an older team on the O-line. Like, some of their backups are going to be going in. Like, they're going to – like, some of their guys are going to be resting them, I would say. But the Eagles, I think they're going to pull off the upset and win because they actually have something to prove going up to the sixth seed where they're probably going to put in – like Andy Dalton or their backup at QB. They're going to be putting in like Tony Pollard. He's going to show out. I would probably take him for fantasy more than I would probably put him in for fantasy if I was still in the playoffs, that is. But I would still take the Eagles because they have something to prove while the Cowboys have nothing to prove. Even though it is a divisional game.
Interesting take. I can understand the case that you guys make on that one. So we'll definitely see how that turns out. I mean, I would love to see Philadelphia beat Dallas. I think that would be like a cool revenge game. But I just think for the simple fact that Dallas just lost to Arizona that close, knowing that they could play Arizona again, I think they might want to try to send a message. But hey. You never know what goes into the mind of the NFL teams. Maybe you might be right. Maybe we might see, you know, more Cooper Rush than Dak Prescott. Maybe they might look at Dak Prescott and say, look, just get ready for either the Rams or the Cardinals. You know, get ready for that game. We'll just rest you against Philly, and we'll get you ready for the playoffs. They could very easily go that route. We'll see what they do there. Let's now move on to the rest of the games that will occur on Sunday. First, starting with a game that probably nobody will tune into, but us as football fans will. We got the Washington football team versus the New York Giants. Both teams eliminated from the playoffs, nothing to play for except for pride. With that being said, let's hear what our special guest Aiden has to pick. Aiden, who you got in this game?
As you said, it's a consolation game. I'm expecting this to look like a preseason game where no one's going to be in stands. Nothing's going to happen, really. It's a game. Who's going to get the worst? Who's going to get the best pick in the draft? And since the Giants are having a worse record and they're more likely to, if they lose, they're going to still have a top five pick. I would want the, I'm expecting the Giants to honestly tank this game just so they can actually get that top five pick and or like have a higher chance of getting that top five pick. And so the Washington football team can like, they're still going to have like a top 10, top 15 pick, but the Giants are still going to, are more likely, I would say they should lose this game. Personally, I would rather see the Giants lose for their success in the future.
All right, so you're going with the Washington football team. Let's then go with you, Caleb. Do you think the Washington football team will take care of business, or do you think the Giants will pull off a miracle win and end their season with about five wins?
Oh, man, I definitely think they take care of business, man. You know, being that this is the last game of the season, I think Taylor Heinicke is going to try to show himself and show why, you know, he should be the quarterback for the future for this team, or just go elsewhere and you know, be able to fight for a bigger bag. So with that being said, I think, yes, you know, the Washington Commanders take this game.
Yeah, did they actually confirm the name to be the Commanders now?
I don't know.
That's a prediction. The actual date will be February 2nd. That's when they're going to announce their new team name.
I would still, just to be safe, call them the football team.
I mean, yeah. We'll definitely see what kind of idea they come up with. I myself, I'm also going with the Washington football team. I mean, both teams, they got nothing to play for, but I just think Washington just looks better. The Giants are a complete mess. I mean, you look at their QB situation, it's a mess. They're just entire team. They're whatever culture they have is a mess.
It's
a disaster. Like when you have the most losses in the NFL since 2017, which is more losses than the Cleveland Browns, who had a winless season, there's a problem. And it's not just a small one. It's a major problem. So something has to change with the Giants, whether that's the GM, whether that's the head coach. Something's got to change. Because
fire Dave Gettleman.
The quarterback only has 10 touchdowns this year.
Yeah, and then when you look at when Danny Dimes gets hurt in the contract year, that does not make your case at all. And then when your running back who you drafted second overall gets hurt and it's made of glass, that doesn't help as well. So things need to change for the Giants, and because we all know how the New York media is, if you're not good early, they get on you.
Oh, yeah.
But so we need New York to be somewhat better, because we see what happens when New York teams win. We saw the Knicks last year when they were winning, you know, things started looking prospering. But, you know, when you lose in the New York media, it's more scrutinized. So they need to turn things around for the better. We'll see if they can do that. Let's move on to the next game. We got the Cincinnati Bengals, who won the AFC North last week for the first time since 2015, versus the same old Cleveland Browns, who are once again eliminated from the playoffs. This week, though, they will not have Baker Mayfield, because he will finally get surgery on his labrum that he's been playing through on his non-throwing shoulder. Hopefully he gets better there. You know, we'll see what the Browns have in store. I want to hear what my other co-host Caleb has. Caleb, do you think Cincinnati will just bring the hammer on the Browns, or do you think the Browns on their last leg will pull off an upset?
Nah, yeah, man. I think Cincinnati, you know, brings the would you just call that shit right now?
Bring the hammer.
They're bringing the hammer, bro. I honestly think they bring the hammer. They're gonna send a message this playoffs to everybody and let them know that like they're here and they're here to stay for a long time. So yeah, and with Mayfield not being available for that game, I definitely think that it's over, man. It's over. It's over for them. I got the Bengals.
You got the Bengals. I'll then ask you that same question to our special guest, Aiden. Do you think the Bengals will win, or do you think the Browns will pull off the upset?
I do. The Bengals, I don't think necessarily they're going to be playing all their starters, but the Browns, since they're last in the division, there's no reason for them to really be starting all their guys. So they're going to be resting, getting ready for the offseason, getting ready for the draft. So I would say they're going to probably they're going to be benching a lot of their guys, getting rehabbed, and the Bengals, it's still going to be a blowout for sure. They're going to be sending a message, but they won't be bringing the hammer with all their starters, as you would say, Matt.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's already been reports that Joe Burrow won't play week 18. It'll most likely be Brandon Allen. But I still think even with Brandon Allen in there, I still think the Bengals will take care of business, which is my pick for the game. I got the Bengals. They're just completely better. I mean, they're the better team, you know, just the better outlook. I mean, which will then kind of bring on. I have two questions that I'll ask to each of you. And each of you guys could answer however you want it. Caleb, I'll ask you this first question. When Ja'Marr Chase went off for 266 yards and 3 touchdowns against the Chiefs and helped solidify the AFC North for the Cincinnati Bengals, did that solidify Ja'Marr Chase as the Offensive Rookie of the Year?
Yeah, I have to say so, bro. I mean, everybody, you know, Jalen Waddle, another young receiver that's been having a great year. He just didn't have the best week last week. But for
and then even Mac Jones, too, who we didn't even expect to take New England to the playoffs. And
yeah, Mac, he's got to be he's definitely up there, you know, especially with them having a 50-point performance against Trevor Lawrence. I think that spoke more volumes. To me, that's what really impressed me more than anything. Like, just seeing him go out there and really try to, you know, beat the Jaguars and humiliate them, you know, beating the number one pick and scoring 50 points. Pretty fucking impressive, bro.
Definitely. And then I'll ask Aiden that same question. Did Ja'Marr Chase's performance against the Chiefs solidify his case for Offensive Rookie of the Year, or is it still, you know, Mac Jones to lose?
Man, I would say, man, it's a lot. It's gotten a lot tighter between Mac Jones and Ja'Marr Chase after that performance. But I still have, I've had Mac all season. That's my team. I'm still going with my boy Mac Jones.
All right, so we got a Patriots fan up in here. Like to see that. I will say I was big in Mac Jones. I was full riding for Mac Jones, but I just think the kind of performance that Ja'Marr Chase put on, how he's been able to do all season. He's not only just breaking rookie records, he's breaking NFL records as a rookie. I mean, Ja'Marr Chase, he's playing like a top 10 receiver only in his rookie year.
Yeah.
I think with that performance, I think that solidified his win for Offensive Rookie of the Year. Just because of the simple fact of we know what Mac Jones is capable of. He has to play clean football and the Pats win the game. But if the Pats are trailing in a game or if he's having a bad performance, you don't really see the Pats come back and win. Now, sometimes they do, but for the most part, like if you're down against Buffalo or if you're down against the Colts, you know, it's very hard for the Pats to come back. And I think with Ja'Marr Chase, when they were down 14 against the Kansas City, I thought it was over. But Ja'Marr Chase pulled through. Him and Joe Burrow did their thing. I think Ja'Marr Chase solidified Offensive Rookie of the Year, which is rare because normally it is a quarterback award. Like, same thing with the MVP. Normally you give an MVP to a quarterback. Normally you give Offensive Rookie of the Year to a quarterback. Like, last year it was Justin Herbert because he had a great year. But now this year, with how great Ja'Marr Chase has been, I think Ja'Marr Chase pretty much sealed the deal there with Offensive Rookie of the Year. And then the next question that I will ask is this the last season for Baker Mayfield in a Browns uniform, or will he be back in Cleveland next year? Because I personally believe, I think Baker Mayfield is going to be back in a Cleveland Browns uniform next year, because what other QB are you going to get? Do the Browns have enough assets to give up to get a guy like a Russell Wilson or Deshaun Watson? I don't think they do. I don't think they have enough assets to give up to get a guy of that talent without risking their starters. And then you look at even in the draft, the QB class for this year is kind of all right. I mean, it's not the best. Like, it's not like the last 2 years where you've had like great QBs, whether that's Mac Jones or Trevor Lawrence or Trey Lance, Zach Wilson. You had that group this year. And then even last year, you look at, you had guys like Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, Tua Tagovailoa. This class is kind of a weaker class for QB. So I think Cleveland is going to keep Baker, but on a short year, kind of like a Jameis Winston kind of deal, like a one-year prove-it deal, maybe give him a franchise tag. Hopefully he'll be all healthy in the offseason and maybe even try to run it back, because you look at Cleveland, they were 3-1 earlier this year, but injuries derailed the team. So I'll ask that same question to our special guest, Aiden, first. Do you think Baker Mayfield will be a Cleveland Brown after this year, or do you think he played his last game last week as a Cleveland Brown?
Honestly, I think he's back on, as you said, like maybe not a 1 year, but maybe a very short contract, a small contract, like a prove it deal. So he can, but he gets a little bit more leeway, because it's definitely a hard situation to be in, as though he has weapons around him, injuries definitely took a toll on him this season and some of the past few years, but when he was in his rookie year and he didn't have as many weapons, he still put on a show. He still put on a great, made amazing plays for the team. And I would say he's definitely going to be back. So because even in, as you said, in the draft, there's no options, but even if there were options, I still wouldn't trust them, because look at their tendencies in the past 20 years. They've had, I think, 15 QBs in the past 20 years.
And they've had a lot. They've had over 20 plus.
20 plus? Dang. Mm-hmm. Since they've had that many QBs starting games in the past 20 years, and they've drafted 90% of them, I would not say that they would that they should trust their tendencies in drafting or even trading, because like Russell Wilson, he's good the first few weeks and then messes around, then kind of screws us all over for all of us fantasy guys. And then Deshaun Watson, like he's in court right now and we don't know what that situation's looking like. So I would not trust that situation to go well in his favor. And I wouldn't want to risk making that trade.
Absolutely. And then I'll ask Caleb that same question. Do you think Baker played his last game as a Cleveland Brown, or do you think they'll bring him back for another season?
No, I think they'll bring him back. You know, if anything, maybe they go. I can see them go with somebody lesser. When I say lesser, just not as good. Maybe like a Jimmy Garoppolo instead of a Baker next year. And then maybe they see how he works, and maybe they could trade Baker and get another defensive pick, or maybe go trade Baker and get another offensive lineman, something. But maybe they change their scheme. But I think, if anything, it's either going to be Baker or somebody maybe not as good. Maybe even Jameis Winston. Jameis Winston actually had a better year. So
you think they have the assets to get a Jimmy Garoppolo type guy? Because I don't think he's off contract for another few years, and
he's got Jimmy Garoppolo has I believe Jimmy Garoppolo has one more year after this year. And okay, because the 49ers can release Jimmy Garoppolo and have plus money. They can save money if they release Jimmy Garoppolo.
Got it. Do you think they're going to start the Trey Lance era?
I believe so. I think the Trey Lance era is going to start, you know, next year. I think that's why the Niners traded up to get Trey Lance, so he could rest a year, learn the system in a year, and then after Jimmy Garoppolo's contract is up, or they could release him, they'll do it, and then in comes Trey Lance.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, you don't move all the way up to the third pick and draft Trey Lance just for him to sit for 2 years. No, you trade him to sit one, and then you have him play. Or whenever Jimmy gets hurt. Look what they do with Jordan Love. With Jordan Love, that's a whole different ball game. That was, I mean, maybe that was just poor as a whole. I mean, granted, he does look good. He has some good flashes. But I mean that was just interesting timing, because you rarely do you see a team who just made it to the NFC Championship game draft a third string quarterback in the first round. It's rare. I mean, granted, it does happen, but you know, it was rare. That situation is way different compared to San Fran, who just missed the playoffs last year. They only had 6 wins. We had no idea about Garoppolo. They decided to trade up. They had the assets. They get the 3rd pick. And then they had either Mac Jones or Trey Lance. And they decided to roll with Trey Lance, and they decided to roll with younger talent.
But I'm shocked they didn't trade him at the trade deadline then, because I don't know if they looked at offers, but if they did, clearly they are overvaluing him. You know,
how is he getting overvalued?
No, because if they have him like with too much value, they didn't trade him. They didn't settle for anything if they looked at offers.
But they could end up with plus money, so therefore that plus money is players anyway, depending on how you
look. Yeah, it was the same thing if they released Jimmy Garoppolo this year. This year and next year, they could cut Jimmy Garoppolo and the 49ers save cap space, which they can use to bring back players or sign players. They decided to roll with Garoppolo just because the 49ers, they have a good record when Jimmy Garoppolo is a starter. Just look at, you know, a year or two ago when Garoppolo was a starter, they won 13 games, made it to a Super Bowl. Yeah. And if it weren't for Kyle Shanahan and the defense blowing a 10-point lead with 6.5 minutes left, they would have been Super Bowl champions.
Yeah.
I just think the 49ers rolled with that just because, hey, we've had success with Jimmy, but we'll get a guy in Trey Lance. He'll be our young guy for the future, and we'll basically give Jimmy a prove it year. Just like, all right, Jimmy, see what you got. You know, you brought us to a Super Bowl when you were fully healthy. Now I'll try and do the same thing. And he failed to do that. And his performances weren't good, and he was hurt. So now Trey Lance has a chance. Now, they do say if Jimmy Garoppolo is healthy this week for week 18, that he is going to play versus the Los Angeles Rams. So it's not like Trey Lance gets the full start. You know, Jimmy is going to start week 18 when he's healthy. But if he's not healthy, expect to see Trey Lance in there. And if Trey Lance finds a way to beat the Rams, boy, is there going to be a QB controversy for San Francisco coming into the playoffs. I could tell you that.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, this is going to be interesting for sure.
Yeah, it sure will be. But let's move on to the rest of our Sunday games. We got Ben Roethlisberger's final game of his NFL career. The Pittsburgh Steelers, who are 8-7-1 with a bleak chance of making the playoffs, versus the 8-8 Baltimore Ravens, who also have a bleak chance of making the playoffs. A lot's going to have to happen for both sides. For the Ravens, we don't know if Lamar's going to play or not. He might be slated to play, but it could very well also be Tyler Huntley to start as well for the Ravens. We obviously know for the Steelers, it's Ben Roethlisberger's final game. It's in Baltimore. I'll then throw it out to our special guest in Aiden. Who do you think is going to win this game? Do you think Ben Roethlisberger rides off into the sunset with a victory, or do the Ravens play spoiler?
Yeah, it's all dependent on Lamar Jackson. If he's in, if Lamar's playing, if he's in. Because it's going to be all guns blazing going into this game. If Lamar's in, they're winning. If not, the Steelers are going to be the Steelers are probably going to win as long as Chase Claypool doesn't pull a Chase Claypool like he did against the Bengals or whoever they were playing against when he did that celebration.
Minnesota.
The Minnesota game. But it's definitely going to be a good game for sure, and everyone's going to be starting. They're not going to be. I don't think they're gonna care about if they're risk injuries or not, because it's a really low chance for both teams to make the playoffs. Because I believe if the Ravens make the playoffs,
they basically need the Jaguars to beat the Colts, the Bills to lose, the Dolphins to lose, and then either the Chargers or the Raiders to lose for them to get in the playoffs. A lot's gonna have to happen.
Yeah, and so I don't think either team will make the playoffs, but there's still a chance. But all starters are going to be in. But it's all dependent on Lamar. It's all dependent on Lamar. I couldn't really make a pick for this one because if he's in, the Ravens are winning. Steelers are winning.
If he's not in, if it's the Tyler Huntley show, do you think the Steelers win?
It's a higher chance for sure. It's, I'm higher on the Steelers for them to win if Tyler Huntley's in, even though like he performed well when Lamar was out, and Josh Johnson, even he performed really well. But still, I'd still say the Ravens have a higher chance of winning, but the Steelers are the Steelers have a very good chance of winning still.
Definitely interesting take there. I'll then throw it out there to Caleb. Do you believe Ben roll right off into the sunset with a win, or will the Ravens play spoiler?
I think the Ravens will play spoiler because they're going to have to if they want to get in the playoffs. I think the Ravens should have a lot of confidence in themselves and going to the playoffs this year. As you guys seen earlier in the year when they were healthy, they did beat the Chiefs. And I think that they rode that confidence until they couldn't anymore and they got hurt. And you know, that was the only thing that really slowed them down. So I think if Lamar is in, it's a go, it's a green. They should be confident enough to go in the playoffs and feel that they can upset anybody. I mean, they proved to themselves they could beat the Chiefs. You know, their defense is consistently good. It's been good. So it's no doubt in my mind that they could upset anybody in the bracket. They just got to get in. And a lot of things got to fall their way. And if Lamar's there, they got the win. So that's step one. I got the Ravens.
100%. I agree with you as well, Caleb. I got the Baltimore Ravens. But on the flip side of things, I will ride with Aiden and say, if Lamar Jackson is in, I think the Ravens will take care of business. But if Lamar is not in, then I'm pulling hardcore for Ben to ride off in the sunset. Because I personally believe Lamar will play. I think Lamar is going to be one, like, last game in Baltimore. We've been on a losing streak that pretty much took us out of the playoffs. Let's try to end it on the right note. You know, let's try and beat Pittsburgh, because keep in mind, last time they played Pittsburgh, it was at Heinz Field. They had the Steelers by the ropes, but then they decided to go for two and fell short. Hopefully this time around, when they score a touchdown, they won't have to go for two. And, you know, hopefully they could just do their thing. I got the Baltimore Ravens in this game. I mean, don't get me wrong, I would love to see Ben Roethlisberger right off with the win to a sunset, but he had his moment. He got a win in his final home game at Heinz Field. I think that was all that mattered. He rode off in the sunset at Heinz Field. This game is just one of those, all right, you know, let's see what we can do. You know, it's gonna be smash mouth football. It's gonna be classic rivalry, and we'll see who comes out. But I think you mean the Ravens. But
this is like it gets no better for him, bro. You get a clutch playoff deciding game, just like back in the day when Ray Lewis was there one more time. Final game, and it means something. It gets no better. I remember seeing Kobe score that 60. At the end of the day, if he would have scored that 60 or 20, it didn't mean shit. We still wasn't going to play. So that's a blessing where he's at right now. It's super.
Absolutely. It is a blessing. Let's move on to the next game. The next game, which pretty much I think we could all agree on this one. We got the Green Bay Packers versus the Detroit Lions. I, as you guys all know, am going with the Green Bay Packers. Matt LaFleur has stated that the starters are going to play in this game. We've also heard him say in an idealistic situation that the likes of David Bakhtiari, possibly Jair Alexander, even perhaps Josh Myers could play as well for the Green Bay Packers. A lot of those guys who were injured could come back to this game. Green Bay already has a one seed locked in. I think these are just going to be just little reps, you know, whether it's for injured players or even some starters. Even Aaron Rodgers himself said that he wants to play this game. So give me Green Bay. It's going to be a blowout. And I think this game will also help further solidify Matt LaFleur's chances of winning Coach of the Year and possibly Aaron Rodgers' chances of going back-to-back for the NFL MVP award. I want to hear what you guys have to say. I'll throw it out to my co-host, Caleb. Do you think Green Bay takes care of business, or do you think Detroit will just ruin their draft pick?
Oh, man, I definitely think they take care of business, my man. Yeah, dude, that's not even a question. Green Bay takes care of business on my end.
All right, and then the same thing for you, Aiden, or do you think the Lions will ruin the draft pick?
Man, I honestly, I wish I could say the Lions would ruin their draft pick sometimes, just because I kind of feel bad for their fans. They've been through a lot, but honestly, at this time, I think they would prefer losing. But I feel like they're going to pull their star. The Packers are going to pull their starters after the first half. They're going to go all out for the first half and then pull. I know you say they're going to start, but like they're going to. I feel like they're going to pull at the end of the first half or at the beginning of the third.
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely. I could definitely see that. Like if it's
they need to rest for the plays. They need to rest for the playoffs.
Yeah, and I will say I think they'll even just utilize injured guys like Bakhtiari or Josh Myers or Jair Alexander. They'll probably just begin in like the first half just for like reps. Just like, all right, you know, just get some reps in so you can be ready for the playoffs. You know what I mean? So you won't be rusty going into the playoffs. You'll all right, I got some gameplay in. You know, let's get ready for the divisional.
For sure, for sure.
You know, with that being said, let's move on to the next game. We got the Indianapolis Colts going up against the Jacksonville Jaguars. And if you guys have not heard, there are going to be lots of Jaguars fans going in dressed up as clown suits. And we'll have the owner Shad Khan's mustache on as well to mock the general arrangement of the Jacksonville Jaguars. But on the flip side of things, we got the Indianapolis Colts, who it's simple, win, and they're in playoffs on the line. I want to hear what our special guest Aiden has to say. Do you think the Colts will win and get in, or will Jacksonville play the ultimate of spoilers and pull off the upset win over the Indianapolis Colts?
Honestly, I think the Colts are going to win. They're going to be resting a lot of their starters for the playoffs. Like maybe they're going to play some of their starters as a like just last extra reps just to make sure they don't get rusty for the playoffs. But I think they're going to keep them starting but honestly, it's all dependent on how the Jaguars this is new news on the clown suits. I think it's all going to be dependent on how the Jaguars take how the Jaguars react to the clown suits.
Yeah, and it's not towards the players. It's towards management. You know, it's towards the GM and towards the owner. It's not like they're not against the players at all. It's just Shad Khan's a terrible owner. Hiring Urban Meyer was a flat-out disastrous, one of the worst hires in NFL history. And then on top of that, their GM has just been making boneheaded decision after boneheaded decision.
I agree. But still, like, the guys on the team, the players, they back the organization like it's their last time. Like it's the last time they'll ever play football. Like no matter the organization, no matter the management, we'll see how they take the clown suits. We'll see how they take what they see. But I still think the Colts are going to win because their bench is better than better than the Jaguars starters. So, but it's all dependent on how they take the clown suits.
Yeah, we'll definitely see how they take that as well. Let's go to Caleb. Do you think the Colts will win and get in, or will the Jags play the ultimate spoiler?
I think the Jags play the ultimate spoiler, especially, you know, I think, you know, Trevor Lawrence is going to try to bounce back, put some points up, and try to have, like, a last good game, you know what I'm saying, and end on a good note. Why not wreck somebody's playoffs hopes? You know, I think the Colts are going to be out there trying to get the dub as they need that win to go to the playoffs. So yeah, you know, it'll be a competitive game between both sides, but I think the Jaguars just come and get the dub. They're gonna swipe it.
Ooh, okay, I like it. Bold upset here. And I will say, if the bold prediction does happen, you heard it here first, January 5th, 2022. Caleb Connett predicted the upset. If it does come to fruition, we'll see what happens here. I also got the Indianapolis Colts. I think it's going to be a no-brainer. And, you know, just they're going to find a way to get in. Jonathan Taylor is going to do his thing, and they're going to keep it going. Let's move on to the rest of the picks, but let's just be quick. We'll just go with the team that we think is going to win and just simply no explanation. We got Bears and Vikings. I got the Minnesota Vikings in this game. Who do you guys have?
I got the same.
Aiden's got the Vikings. What about you, Caleb? You got Minnesota as well?
Of course. Come on now. Let's go.
All right. And then we got another, as some people would say, come on now kind of game. We got the Tennessee Titans going up against the Houston Texans. A no-brainer for me. I as well got the Tennessee Titans in this game. I think they solidify the one seed. We even heard King Henry is coming. I think the King is going to lay the hammer. Like, you know, like I mentioned a lot during this episode, the hammer's coming down. Tennessee's going to clinch home field advantage. Who do you guys got as well? I'll start off with Caleb, and then I'll go to Aiden.
I'm riding with you.
Right away. Same here.
Titans, and we got another ride with the Titans as well. Another clean sweep. Let's go with the New Orleans Saints versus the Atlanta Falcons. Caleb, do you think the Saints take care of business?
Yeah, I think we do. We need to, because that's the only way that they're gonna get in the playoffs. So yes, I do think the Saints take care of business.
All right, I like the sound of that. What about you, Aiden? Do you think the Saints take care of business?
I do. The Falcons, if they win, they're going to make it because of the divisional tie.
Well, the Falcons are eliminated from the playoffs, so for the Falcons, it doesn't
matter. Oh, they are. Oh, yeah, then I'm still taking the Saints, though. Doesn't matter. I'm still taking the Saints.
All right, we like the sound of that. I am also going with Who Dat Nation. I think the Saints win this game, and they clinch the playoffs because I think the Rams are going to take care of business. So I'll forewarn you on that one. With that even being said, let's go into Rams versus Niners. Give me the LA Rams. I think the Rams will clinch the NFC West. Who do you got, Caleb?
I got the Rams, bro. Come on now. Come on now. That is a come on now game too. But I got the Rams. Excited to see, you know, the competition and the fight.
You excited to see that Matt Stafford OBJ connection?
Oh, for sure. It's amazing. And in person, it's 10 times better. So yeah, man, I'm going with the Rams. Who's
all right? All right. Let's also go with you, Aiden. Do you think the Rams will take care of business in their house, or will the Niners pull off the upset?
Of course, I got to rock with the Rams. That's how I met Caleb at the Rams. I met him at the Rams training camp. Got to rock with the men. Got to rock with the boys.
All right. Like the sound of that. Let's move on to another NFC West matchup, the Seattle Seahawks versus the Arizona Cardinals. This is a no-brainer for me. I got the Arizona Cardinals. Who do you have, Aiden? Do you think the Seahawks with Russell Wilson take care of business, or will the Cardinals win?
No chance the Seahawks win. No chance.
All right, so we got another Cardinals. What about you, Caleb?
I got the Cardinals, bro. Easy.
All right, a straight, clean sweep. We got the New York Jets versus the Buffalo Bills. No-brainer for me. I got the Buffalo Bills. Do any of you guys else have the New York Jets as an upset, or do you guys think the Bills will take care of business?
Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, right. Bills all the way.
All right, like Bills the sound the of that. Way. And then, as Caleb would say, another potential come on now kind of game. We got the Carolina Panthers versus the Buccaneers. As Caleb would say,
come on now.
Give me the Buccaneers. This is a no-brainer.
Come on.
It don't matter. It don't matter if the Buccaneers don't have Evans or Godwin or Antonio Brown. Don't matter. They still got the GOAT, Tom Brady. He's going to find a way to beat the Carolina Panthers.
Facts. Facts, though.
Yep.
Facts.
Yep.
Yeah, big, big facts there. We can all agree with the Buccaneers on that one. We also got, I think, a good game here. We got the New England Patriots, who are trying to win the AFC East, versus the Miami Dolphins, which is the Patriots' kryptonite because it is in Miami. We'll see how that turns out. I want to hear what Aiden has. Do you think the kryptonite continues for the Patriots in Miami, or will the Patriots beat the Dolphins?
As I said earlier, this is my favorite team, bro. I can't. I got to rock with the bull. I got to rock with my team. I'm not going to bet against them. I'm not going to bet against Mac Jones either.
All right. We like the sound of that. Like the sound, we got the Patriots. What about you, Caleb? Do you think the Pats take care of business?
I think it's going to be a really good one, but I think Tua goes out there and gets it done.
Whoa, so we got a Tua stand here. We got an upset pick alert for Caleb. Caleb's going with two bold upsets.
Gotta be some upsets, you know. Gotta be. It's never a good week 18 without some upsets.
Yeah,
hey, who's the upset?
Jaguars and Colts.
Yeah. I forgot about that one.
Yeah, we like some of those upsets. I got the Patriots as well. I think it's a no-brainer for New England. They're already in the playoffs. They want to try to win the AFC East. I think they're very well going to be paying attention to that Jets-Bills game. And if somehow the Jets pull off the almighty upset, then the Pats are going to be thrilled, because I think they're going to go into Miami, and I think they're going to steal the Dolphins' lunch money. And then we got the final game of Week 18. We got the Los Angeles Chargers, who are 9-7, versus the Las Vegas Raiders, who are also 9-7, in a win or go home game in Las Vegas. I will start off with our special guest, and Aiden, who do you think comes away with the victory and the playoff berth? Will it be the Los Angeles Chargers, or will it be the Las Vegas Raiders?
I got the Chargers. Even though the Raiders are on fire, they don't got anybody other than Darren Waller and Derek Carr and Josh Jacobs. The Chargers are too deep to not win this game.
All right. What about you, Caleb? Who do you got?
I got the Chargers, man. I think the Raiders are a really, really good team. I just so many things just didn't go their way this year. And with that being said, you know, I just think the Chargers are going to be, you know, the better team from front office all the way to the field.
Ooh, okay, I am going to go with the upset. Give me the Las Vegas Raiders. I think, you know the old saying is, do it for somebody. I think the Raiders are going to do it for John Madden. You know, rest in peace to the great John Madden. I think the Raiders are going to have a different kind of energy. They had a different energy versus the Colts last week. I think that's going to continue this week. I think the Chargers are going to choke like they always do. It's the same old Chargers. Give me the Las Vegas Raiders for the Al Davis torch for John Madden. The Raiders, Raider Nation, is going to find a way to pull off the upset over the Los Angeles Chargers. Those are our Week 18 picks. The whole playoff matchup will be set in stone after that. Let's very quickly kind of dive into our quick awards. We kind of gave our Offensive Rookie of the Year awards already. Caleb and I both went with Ja'Marr Chase. Aiden went with his boy, Mac Jones. Some people say Mac 10. Others say Mac Daddy. But some mostly prefer Mac 10. So that's our Offensive Rookie of the Year. Let's dive into, on the flip side of things, Defensive Rookie of the Year. I think it's a no-brainer for me. I know who I'm going with. I want to hear what you guys are going with. Aiden, who do you think's got Defensive Rookie of the Year in the bag?
I mean, it's between Micah Parsons and Trevon Diggs. Oh, no, sorry. Trevon Diggs isn't even a rookie. My bad. But I'm definitely going with Micah Parsons.
All right. I like the sound of that. What about you, Caleb? Do you also believe it's Micah Parsons?
I do. Honestly, it can't go with anybody else but him. He's proved that to have an amazing year this year. He's played great. And, I just wish the Eagles would have kept him. But, yeah, for me, I'm going with Micah Parsons, bro.
Yeah, well, I 100% agree. I think it's Micah Parsons. It's a no-brainer for me. He's been the best defensive rookie in the league. And he just shows it week in, week out. Let's move on to our NFL MVP award. It's dwindled down a lot this year. I mean, you pretty much got three players. It's either Aaron Rodgers, it's either Tom Brady. I mean, you can even say four. You got Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Jonathan Taylor, or Cooper Kupp. You know, those are probably going to be your four, you know, MVP front runners. I want to hear what you guys got. I'll start off with our co-host and Caleb Conant. Caleb, who do you think will walk away with the NFL MVP award for this year?
I got to go A. Rodgers, man. That was a tough decision for me. It was a tough decision, but I think Aaron Rodgers gets it. He's had an amazing year, but on top of that, he's had an amazing storyline too. So I'm going to go Aaron Rodgers. Who do you have?
It's very tough for me. I thought for sure Brady was going to run away with it. But over the last stretch of a couple games, whether that's being shut out to the New Orleans Saints, whether that's kind of been iffy against somewhat good teams, whether it's the Washington football team or the LA Rams. I think the way how Aaron Rodgers has been playing, I think he's going to go back to back. I mean, I think he's playing well. He's had great games. I mean, the only bad game I would say that he had was week one against the Saints. You know, other than that, and besides missing the game against Kansas City, he's been, for the most part, you know, has played great football, you know, all season. And he's kept Green Bay into where they are right now. He's been one of the reasons why they are 13-3. You know, without Aaron Rodgers, we've seen what the Packers are. You know, they're a team who falters a lot and the offense can't move the ball. So I think it's going to be Rodgers going back to back, but I would not be shocked if somehow, some way, 44-year-old Tom Brady won yet another MVP. I want to hear what our special guest Aiden has to offer. Who do you think's got MVP? Do you think it's a running back, Jonathan Taylor, a receiver, Cooper Kupp, or will it be a quarterback?
I think, honestly, like, though, yes, Aaron Rodgers has the stats, he has the record, he has the one seed in the NFC. I think voter fatigue is going to catch up to him. Though, yes, it's a back-to-back. They don't usually have voter fatigue for a back-to-back. But there's never been a three-time back-to-back-to-back MVP in the NFL. So I would say the voter fatigue is going to catch up, and I would say Tom Brady's going to win this one just because he's the GOAT. And like, the media knows him as the GOAT, and he and they, I don't think they're going to vote Aaron Rodgers back to back.
And he's 44 years old throwing 40 touchdowns.
That too. Yeah. That
when,
too.
When have that. We ever seen when we see 40 year olds out there on the field as quarterback, they're out of gas. Like Peyton Manning, his final year, he was carried by the defense. Brett Favre, same situation. He was out of gas. What Brady has been doing this year has been remarkable. So we'll see what happens there. Moving on to another award, Coach of the Year. We got a lot of good options here for Coach of the Year. You can make a case for Zach Taylor. You can make a case for Matt LaFleur, Mike Vrabel, Bill Belichick. I want to hear what you guys have to say. Let's throw it back to our special guest in Aiden. Who do you think is going to win Coach of the Year, and why do you think it's your man, Bill Belichick?
You read my mind. I do think it's Bill B, just because, yes, he built up – he basically plays coach and GM at the same time, because offseason he built the roster how he wanted it, but he didn't get crazy receivers, though, because I don't completely remember, but if I remember, there were some good receivers in the free agency pool. He didn't get any of them. He just got some really good tight ends. He got some good got some good guys on the defense. But this team was still, I would consider it better, but not like one of the best rosters in the league. So, and the fact that he still, and he had Mac Jones, he let Mac Jones carry the team to an 11-5 record as a rookie would basically give him that good Coach of the Year award.
Definitely like the sound of that. What about you, Caleb? Who do you think is going to win Coach of the Year?
I think that was really a really good case for Bill, and Bill really already has a good case, you know, since he honestly built a team, a very impressive team up. But I think also if the Steelers do end up getting in the playoffs, I think that, you know, but Mike Tomlin could be a good choice as well. You know, he's never had a under 500 season, and for this is probably
his entire coaching year career, which will continue after this year because they have 8 wins.
Right, exactly. And, you know, this is probably the worst Big Ben has ever played this season. Not as far as numbers, but this is not primed Big Ben. And for him to have a non-primed Big Ben and to still do what he did this year was, you know, tremendous to me. So I think he can make a case if they do find their ways to play.
You got to remember, though, Coach of the Year is a one-year – is based on the past year. It's not based on a coaching career. But also, I still see the case for Mike Tomlin, considering considering he has the locker room antics of Juju Smith, Chase Claypool, and then also having to deal with everything else.
Yeah.
I can see the case, too. I just got to remember it's on the season award. I got Bell B.
Yeah, and you already know who I'm rolling with, Caleb. I'm rolling with my boy, Matt LaFleur. I've been on the Matt LaFleur train before the season even started. I even threw down a $10 bet before the season started. Give me Matt LaFleur, coach of the year. I think it was his time. And so far this year, he's proved it. I mean, they once again have 13 wins. He's been in the league for 3 years. His third straight 13-win season. His first year could have won coach of the year, but they gave it to John Harbaugh because he had 14 wins. Did it again last year. Oh, sorry, Kevin Stefanski led the Browns to the playoffs. This year, he does it again. And you look at, he has the best record in all of football. What more do you want Matt LaFleur to do? He's got the best record in football. He has the best quarterback in the NFL right now. And I think it's his time. I think he's due for coach of the year. Now, you got a case for Mike Vrabel or Zach Taylor just because I don't think nobody expected Tennessee to be a first seed or the Bengals to win the AFC North. You got a good case there. Even with Bill Belichick, nobody expected the Pats to win 10 games with the rookie quarterback in Mac Jones, but here they are. So we'll see what happens, but I just think coach of the year has to go to my guy with my name, Matt LaFleur. Hopefully to make all the Mats out there even more respected than they already are.
That's right, bro.
I love that, man. Love that.
That's right. That's right. I agree, man. I agree. I think yeah, you guys have some good points. You can't go wrong with either of those guys.
Yeah, you definitely can. Now, granted, I'll be a little disappointed if Matt LaFleur doesn't win, but if it's either one of those three, I can very well understand why it would be either one of those three. But with that being said, let's move on to our last topic, the NBA flip side of things. Before we get into the regular NBA news, let's kind of talk about the Lakers. And Caleb, our boys are back on a winning track and we're back above 500. How are we feeling about the Lakers right now?
Oh, we got a lot to prove, man. We got a lot to prove. I'm just now understanding why we made that trade. I understood we saved money, got a roster spot, so I'm okay with it, but we still got a lot to prove, bro. We got a lot to prove. How are you feeling?
Man, I'm feeling more comfortable with the Lakers now. Lakers are starting to get more healthier. They're starting to win more games. You look at, we're tied with the Nuggets and the Mavericks for the fifth seed. We're right there in the thick of things. I like where we're at. I loved what I saw out of Russell Westbrook last game. He had zero turnovers. He was very efficient. I liked what I saw from Westbrook there. I think if Russell Westbrook plays like that, if he plays efficient and he doesn't turn the ball over a lot, then we got a good chance to win. But I'm also looking forward to see whenever Kendrick Nunn returns, you know, whenever we see more Trevor Ariza. I love seeing what Malik Monk can bring to the table. And King James is playing like the King James that I know best. Seeing him put up 30-plus points a night, that's a LeBron James that I know. And seeing that he's doing that in year 19, it makes it even more impressive, especially, you know, once AD comes back, if the Lakers keep on clicking, boy, are we going to be a threat in the Western Conference. That's what I personally feel about the Lakers. I want to hear your side of things, Aiden. How do you feel about the Lakers right now? They've won three straight. They're back above 500, and they're tied for the fifth seed.
I think they're a great team. Honestly, hoping for Malik Monk to get back from health and safety protocols. I'm a Clippers fan, first off. I know you can't see it behind me, but I have a Blake Griffin signed jersey in the background. but at the same time, like, though, I think the Lakers are good. I have a take that I feel like almost nobody would agree with, just because it's no one's going to, because like they traded so many pieces for him, but I would say they need to trade Anthony Davis.
Ooh, tell me more. Why do you think the Lakers should trade for AD or trade AD. Anthony Davis?
I always say availability is the best ability, and AD hasn't been available. Yes, the team's been doing well, but they could do better with a guy like. I know Kyrie hasn't played for a while.
Yeah, and he just suited up for the first time tonight.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. We'll see how he does. But I didn't see. I haven't been able to keep track too much of how Kyrie's doing tonight. But I would say you could probably trade him for a guy like Kyrie, whose trade value is down, or you could trade him for a guy like Bradley Beal, because they kind of need shooting. They need a guy to. They need people to like play. They need people to can be available for the team.
Because hey, can't blame that on him. He got hurt. I mean.
Yeah, but he's hurt all the time. So, and he's less efficient than Melo. And Melo's 37, 38. So I would say you gotta play. You gotta play. Like you gotta have run Melo, but like he's more efficient at like. And I would rather have Melo take the clutch shot than Anthony Davis. So, and I'd rather have more clutch shooters on the team than a guy who is injured almost constantly.
Hmm. Definitely an interesting take there. You do make a good case there, but I think they're going to keep AD. I mean, I don't think after only with 2 years with Anthony Davis, you trade him after you gave up all of our young talent to get him. I think you're going to keep him whether he's healthy or not. But I've always stated, and Caleb could even say this, like I've always stated, if the Lakers are still struggling by the trade deadline, somebody's going to get traded. Obviously, they're slowly turning things around now. But I will say you have to give it a month. If February comes around and they're still hovering around 500, a trade will definitely happen, whether that's a Westbrook trade or a someone kind of trade. Somebody will get traded. So we'll see if they continue to win, the team is going to stay. But if they're still just hovering around 500 like they are right now, if they're only like 20-19 or just barely above 500, somebody's going to get traded. But if they get back to the winning ways, if they move up to a fifth seed or even a fourth seed, then they're going to keep the team to where they're at.
For sure.
And then one last thing that I'll dive into before we end this fantastic episode 61 of the MCS Real Sports Podcast. Let's discuss some big news that's happening around the NBA. Tonight is Dirk Nowitzki's jersey retirement night for Dallas Mavericks. I kind of want to get your thoughts on it. What either Dirk Nowitzki meant to you guys, or what he meant for the NBA just overall as a whole. Because I personally think I'm glad Dirk Nowitzki will get his jersey number retired. I think he meant everything for the Mavericks. I think he's the greatest Maverick ever in the entire franchise history. It's going to take a lot for Luka Doncic to get on Dirk's level, because I mean, what Dirk did for Dallas, he basically put Dallas on the map. I mean, if Dirk Nowitzki would have never made it to the Mavericks, we would have never known who the Dallas Mavericks are. But because he was on the team, because he had such sustained success with Dallas, and the kind of championship run that Dirk went on in 2011, I mean, we're talking, he beat the Portland Trailblazers with Brandon Roy, who was phenomenal, LaMarcus Aldridge in his prime. Then you not only beat the defending champion Los Angeles Lakers, but you sweep the Lakers. Then you beat the up-and-coming Oklahoma City Thunder. And then getting revenge on the LeBron Big Three Miami Heat in 2011 has to be one of the greatest championship runs I have ever seen. And then just what he's done as a career. Like, he's one of the greatest German basketball players of all time, one of the greatest overseas players of all time. And Dirk has made a great impact for the NBA, and I'm really glad that he finally gets his number retired, you know, for the Dallas Mavericks. What are your guys' thoughts on it?
Oh, man, I think that's huge, man. Like Aiden said earlier, it's long overdue. I truly believe, like, I agree that it is long overdue. And he is the face of Dallas. He put Dallas on the map. He got them there. I want to say first and only ring, correct me if I'm wrong, but at the end of the day, he's more than just a representation of Dallas. He's a representation of the greats to come out of, you know, international basketball. So he's the face of international basketball as well. And it's amazing that they're paying tribute to him, because, you know, it's dope. To see, he was one international player, and now we have guys like Giannis. It's amazing how far just they have come in the NBA. So, yeah, I'm all for it. I love it.
Yeah, absolutely. Sure. I want to hear what Aiden has to say on Dirk Nowitzki.
Yeah, man, I wish I got to see him more. I wish I got to see him play more, because I didn't get to see him play when he was young. I didn't get to see him play when he was in his true prime, because I didn't start getting into basketball until like either right before, during, or right after that 2011 finals run, which I still watch over sometimes on YouTube at night, because that's so amazing. But I think he's arguably a top three power forward of all time. Top three, top two, behind Tim Duncan, and maybe behind Kevin Garnett, but that's debatable.
Okay, I like the sound of that. Love that take there on Dirk Nowitzki. I think he's definitely up there for power forwards of all time. I mean, you got Karl Malone, you got Tim Duncan, and then you could possibly say then Dirk Nowitzki up there. Just
I completely forgot about Karl Malone, but yeah, Karl Malone probably would be number one or number two.
Yeah, you got a lot of great power forwards there in the NBA. I also kind of want to throw in the rest of the NBA standings. What team has kind of stood out to you guys the most? Because I mean, I got some teams that have stood out for me. I'll start off first. I'm very impressed with what I've seen out of the Chicago Bulls, man. I mean, they got the one seed, the best record in the Eastern Conference. Boy, that's been a shock to me. Like, I love what I see out of Brooklyn. Seeing Kyrie play has been good. The Bucks are playing like the defending champs, like they are. Heat are playing well, even without Bam Adebayo and Jimmy Butler. They just find ways to win. You know, I even love what I see out of the Cavs. Somehow the Cloud Cavaliers are the sixth seed. I'm impressed with Evan Mobley, what he's been doing. I think Mobley's got a chance to win Rookie of the Year. And, you know, you just look at the rest of the teams and, you know, the Eastern Conference is doing good. Even the same thing with the Western Conference. Like, you look at the Warriors with how great they're doing. Steph doing what Steph does, breaking Ray Allen's all-time three-point record, having over 3,000 threes and continuing. Klay even possibly returning this Sunday is going to be very exciting. You got the Suns doing what the Suns do. They made the finals last year, and they're playing like it was not a fluke. The Jazz are doing well. Ja Morant and the Grizzlies are doing well. And then from there on, it's pretty much competition. You got Nuggets, Mavericks, Lakers all tied for five. You got the Clippers right there, right behind them. Then you got the T-Wolves and the Kings right there. And then the Spurs, Trailblazers. You got a whole race in the Western Conference. This is going to be very exciting down the stretch. I want to hear what your guys' thoughts are, even just what are some of your surprise teams. I'll throw it out there with Caleb.
Yeah, for one of my surprise teams are definitely the Warriors. They just lived up to, you know, to what they everybody thought they were, you know what I'm saying? And I think they're just going to be that much better when they get Klay back. Another surprise team I've been watching, and they might not have the best record right now, but I think they're finally starting to get it together, and that's the Minnesota Timberwolves. I think Anthony Edwards is becoming the option there, and they're finally starting to get it together and believe in their big three. Another team that I think is pretty good and has a chance to, you know, just continue to get better if these people want to stay and coaching is right. I think Charlotte's having a pretty solid year too, showing who they are pretty well. Washington having a solid year, showing that, you know, maybe the guys that the Lakers traded weren't the guys that needed to be traded, you know what I'm saying? You know, when it comes to, like, the teams you mentioned in the East, you got Milwaukee playing amazing. You've got the Nets playing amazing. You've got the Bulls playing amazing. The Bulls are, if anything, they're my number one. They're the best team I've seen all year because nobody thought they were going to be this good, and now look at them. They're this good. It's truly a blessing. It's truly amazing for them to be this good. And, yeah, bro, it's Chicago's number one. They're my number one on my list. Aiden, who do you have?
As both of you guys said, the Cavs, the Bulls, those are my two shocking teams. I have, I would say DeMar DeRozan's a top three MVP candidate, actually, with – like, he's got the stats. He's he's averaging about 27, 5, and 5, or 27, 5, and 4.5. He has the narrative. being considered the worst signing of the free of 2021 free agency. And then he made two back-to-back game winners, only person to ever, only player to ever do that. And he has the one, he's leading the Bulls to the one seed, and yeah, they're the best team in the East. And Zach, and him working with Zach LaVine, that whole roster is gelling so well. And even Mac McClung is doing amazing on that team. But also the Cavs with Evan Mobley, the three big man lineup, Kevin Love adapting to his role as a off the bench mentor as well as the old guy on the roster. Lauri Markkanen, I don't know how well he's doing, but I know he's doing better than he was in Chicago under Jim Boylan. And then even honestly, the Lakers, they're shocking how they're not doing as well as I would as I thought they would. I thought they were going to be better than a barely above 500 team. Yes, they're turning it up now, but I don't think this zero turnover game from Russell Westbrook is going to be able to be sustained. Yes, he's probably going to play smarter now, but he's still going to get a turnover. He's still probably going to get a turnover or two, but that's expected as a point guard. And the way that I would think to play for the rest of the season with Westbrook, considering I don't think he's going to play as smart as he did on that night that he broke his 400 game streak of having a turnover, would be not paralleling his minutes with LeBron or AD, having him be as like a DeMar DeRozan or a Zach LaVine type guy playing running at the end of the starting lineup with LeBron and then going into being the leader of the second unit, so he can run and gun as he did in OKC when he averaged triple double.
Definitely like all those takes there. You know, definitely great NBA stuff going down. Obviously, as you guys know, we got the trade deadline next month, even the All-Star game next month as well. We got a lot of great things coming up for the NFL as well. Final week of the regular season, deciding all the playoff pictures, the seedings, all that stuff. A lot of great things that we dived into, even a lot of NBA stuff that went down today and will continue to go down as the weeks and the months move forward. But with that being said, that will conclude episode 61 of the MCS Real Sports Podcast. Before we head out today, one more time, Aiden, always a pleasure to have you on here. Where can the people find any great stuff that you do?
My Instagram, as I plugged at the beginning, Aiden, AIDAN._Alexander. And my pod, not really a podcast, but I run a TikTok called Dude Disciples, DudeCiples. There's also the Instagram at DDthe Dude Disciples, same spelling as it would be on TikTok. And it's a pleasure. It's a pleasure being on here.
Truly a pleasure having you, bro. Thank you for coming in here. Been that hot.
I'd love to be on even more too.
Keep being you, keep letting your energy shine bright. You feel me? And you're welcome always, bro. It's a pleasure to have you on here again.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, definitely always a pleasure. I'll then do that same thing for you, Caleb. Where can the people find all the great stuff that you do?
Yo. They can find me at @1CalebConnett on Instagram. They can find me on Twitter at @CalebConnett2. Again, that is spelled CalebConnett. One, first with the one on Instagram, CalebConnett2 on Twitter. Click the link in tree in the bio. You can find plenty of other things too, ranging from the Jewels and Gems podcast. Like I said, me and my dad every Thursday, and all the other work that I've been blessed to, you know, be able to do. So, that's where they can find me. Where can they find you? Let them know.
Alrighty, you can find my Twitter handle at @Matt_Skura. Check out my Instagram at @Matt_Skura20. Check out the links in both of those bios. You could find this very podcast, MCS Real Sports Podcast, available on Anchor, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, you name it, it's available everywhere. With that being said, I am Matt Skura. I got my great co-host, Caleb Connett, and a very great special guest, Caleb's great friend, Aiden. We are signing off on Wednesday, January 5th, 2022, on this fantastic episode 61 of the MCS Real Sports Podcast.
You dig.